بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ومن يتق الله يجعل له مخرجا ويرزقه من حيث لا يحتسب ومن يتوكل على الله فهو حسبه، صدق الله العظيم. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن هذا الخير خزائن ولتلك الخزائن مفاتيح، فتوبى لعبد جعله الله مفتاحا للخير ومغلاقا للشر، وويل لعبد جعله الله مفتاحا للشر ومغلاقا للخير، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. أما بعد، respected beloved friends, it was in the second year of Hijri, at the occasion of the historic battle of Badr, which was known as Yawm al-Furqan, the day when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala differentiated between haqq and batil. The Sahabi Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, he says, Baina ana waqifun fi safi yawma badrin, that while I was standing in the saf on the day of Badr, then nazartu an yamini wa shimali, فَإِذَا بَيْنَ غُلَامَيْنِ مِنَ الْأَنصَارِ, I looked to my right, I looked to my left, and I saw two youngsters from the Ansar, very young in age. So I thought to myself that I wish I had some stronger people on either side, people with more strength, more maturity. They would help me to fight in this battle. Sometimes you're playing a game and you wish you had stronger players on your side. So Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, in the jihad, he wished that he had stronger sahaba on his side. Then he says, فَغَمَزَنِي, one of them poked me on the side and say, Ya Am, oh uncle, هَلْ تَعْرِفْ أَبَا جَهَلْ, do you know Abu Jahl? So I looked at him and I asked him, that what do you want to know about Abu Jahl? So he said to me that I heard Abu Jahl was the one who had caused immense grief to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was responsible for verbally abusing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam over and over again. وَالَّذِي نَفْسِهِ بِيَدِهِ, and he says that this youngster took an oath and he said, لَإِنْ رَأَيْتُهُ, if I see Abu Jahl, لَا يُفَارِقُ سَوَادِي سَوَادَهُ, that my shadow would not separate from him, حَتَّى يَمُوتَ الْأَعْجَلُ مِنَّا, until one of us dies. Today either Abu Jahl dies or I die. This was a young Sahabi. Then there was another Sahabi on the other side, and he posed the same question. So Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu was really astonished at the bravery and courage of these two young Sahaba. Then he looked forward and he saw Abu Jahl and he told him, that is the person you are looking for. The narration say that these two Sahaba, they pounced on Abu Jahl like a falcon that pounces on its prey. The one chopped off Abu Jahl's horse's legs, one chopped off Abu Jahl's legs, and they fought him until they brought him almost to the end of his life. A third Sahabi, also a young Sahabi, joined them in this. Now who were these two Sahaba? According to the narrations, one was Mu'adh bin Amr bin Jamuh radiallahu an, and one was Mu'adh bin Afra radiallahu an. Two young Sahaba with such courage, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given them the honor of killing the Fir'aun of this ummah, Abu Jahl. Progressing in the story, eventually Abu Jahl, he was reaching his end. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu comes. But prior to that, Mu'adh bin Amr bin Jamuh radiallahu anhu was fighting in the battle. Then Ikrimah bin Abi Jahl wasn't a Muslim at that time. He came And he attacked Mu'adh bin Amr bin Jamuh, and he hurt him so badly that his right arm got severed and it was almost falling off. And within that condition, he continued fighting in this battle until a time came where the pain was so excruciating that Mu'adh bin Amr bin Jamuh radiallahu anhu, he stood on his leg and he yanked it off his shoulder so that it doesn't become a hindrance for him in this battle. And it is mentioned that Mu'adh bin Amr bin Jamuh radiallahu anhu lived right up until the Khilafat of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu. So from the time of Badr, he sacrificed his one arm for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in killing the Fir'aun and the enemy of this ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Jahl. Now, the hadith I recited before you, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that tuba li abdin ja'alahu Allah miftahan lil khayr wa mighlaqan lil shar. That glad tidings to that servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah has made him a key to goodness. He opens the locks of goodness in this world, wa mighlaqan lil shar, and he closes the doors of evil in this world. A brilliant example, Mu'adh bin Amr bin Jamuh radiallahu anhu. From this incident, he was مِغْلَاقًا لِلشَّرْ. He was the closer to the greatest enemy of this ummah, Abu Jahl. In Urdu they say, uska kaam ko tamam kar diya. He completed his affair and he ended his life. That was Abu Jahl. But if you go previously, few years back, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was coming to Madinah Munawwara and the Ansar was accepting Islam, Mu'adh bin Amr bin Jamuh radiallahu anhu was from the early Ansar to accept Islam. A young Sahabi. But his concern in his heart was that his father, Amr bin Jamuh, is not accepting Islam. So this is an example how he was miftahan lil khayr. So he thought to himself that my father is worshipping an idol. How can I make him understand that he needs to come to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So Mu'adh bin Amr bin Jamuh radiallahu anhu, together with his friend, another Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu, they formulate a plan. They say that every night, they would go and take their father's idol, which was made from wood. That was Manat, the idol Manat. And they would take that idol and they would throw it in the dumpyard. The next morning, Amr bin Jamuh wakes up. Where's my God? I can't find my God, my deity. He's looking frantically, searching until he finds it in the dumpyard. Enraged, upset, he addresses his idol and he says that whoever has done this to you, I will sort them out. And this continues for a few nights, then he becomes fed up. And then one night, he takes a sword and he ties it around that idol's neck. And he tells the idol, that, oh idol, if there is any good in you, then you must defend yourself. And then he goes to sleep at night. Again, his son, Mu'adh bin Amr bin Jamuh, Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu, they come. They take the sword of the idol, they tie the idol to a dead dog and they throw it in the dumpyard again. The next morning, the father comes. He witnesses the scene. Allah opens up his eyes and heart, and now he realizes the fallacy and the foolishness of worshipping an idol, and he recites the Shahada. So his son Mu'adh bin Amr bin Jamuh radiallahu anhu was the source for the hidayat of his father. So he was miftahan lil khair and he was mighlaqan lil shar. So we as the youth of the ummah have to take a lesson from the lives of Sahaba, that how we can become miftahan lil khair and mighlaqan lil shar. That we can become the source of opening doors of goodness in the ummah and the source of closing doors of evil in the ummah. But this is a very great task. This is a very great task. We have to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept us for this. But before that, we have to acquire certain qualities. We have to acquire certain strengths. One is quwwata ilmiyah. A person needs to acquire the strength of ilm, of knowledge. Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu, at the age of 22 approximately, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dispatches him to Yemen as the governor. What knowledge he must possess to run an entire area at a young age of 22. You have to have quwwata badaniyah, that we have to have physical strength as well. And we have to make effort in this regard to strengthen our bodies as the youth of this ummah. But not for the wrong reasons. Today, many go to the gym because they want to get a six-pack, and then they want a summer bod because they want to show their body to everybody. But respected elders and brothers, we need to get that strength so for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that we can stand up for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third aspect which we wish to focus on today is quwwate ruhaniya. We need to get the strength, the spiritual strength which is required to become sources of good, keys of good, and closing doors of evil. There's an incident that's mentioned. They say one day there was a jeweler, and he was going and he saw a young boy playing some marbles in the sand. He's playing with his marbles, but as the jeweler comes closer, his eye catches hold of one particular marble, and he looks closely, and the glitter, the shine on that marble, bright red, and he realizes that that's not just an ordinary marble. Rather, that's a very precious gem. So he comes to the youngster, and he tells the youngster, listen, here, give me this marble of yours. I'll give you this bag of sweets. So the youngster, not knowing the value of that gem, happily hands over that gem to that man, the jeweler. As soon as the jeweler takes that gem in his hand, the gem broke into 1,000 pieces. So it's a parable. So the jeweler addressed this gem that was on the floor, thousands of pieces, and he asked him that, oh, gem, oh, precious gem, what is your matter? When you are in the dirt, in the hands of this young boy, you remain intact. I who have recognized your value, when you came in my hands, now you shattered into 1,000 pieces. So the jewel spoke, the gem spoke, and told him that, oh, Mr. Jeweler, the reality of the situation is that when I was in the hands of that boy, he never knew my value. But you, despite knowing my value, despite knowing how priceless and rare I am, you paid for me just a bag of sweets. In fact, you have disgraced me, you have humiliated me, and you have dropped my value and destroyed my honor. For this reason, I cannot live in your hands. Now, when they mention this incident, we as the Muslim Ummah, a'azzana Allahu bil Islam. Allah has honored us with Islam. Allah has blessed us with this jewel of Islam. And we are proud to be Muslim. When anybody attacks Islam, we feel very upset. So we have recognized the value of Islam. But we have not given the due diligence to Islam. That we have not benefited from the true power of Islam. That is why we are unable to stand up to the challenges of the time. We are unable to stand up to the fitnas of the time. We are unable to stand up to the onslaught of the kuffar against the Muslim Ummah. Because we have dropped our value and we have forgotten that we are the ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the greatest challenge that the youth of the Ummah face today is that we have become distracted from our objectives. There are three D's. You know, they say 3D. There are 3 D's. One is that the enemies of Islam, Shaitan, has utilized distractions to incite our desire, which leads to our destruction. Shaitan has utilized distractions to incite our desire, which has led to our destruction. So we need to come out of the shackles of following our desires. We have to come out of the shackles of the trap of falling for the distractions, because that has made us forget who we are, and has made us forget our true objective as the youth of the Ummah, as the Ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and has stumped our progress in becoming Mistahan lil Khair and Mighraqan lil Shar. So how do we come out from this? How do we come out from our desires? We have to annihilate our nafs. We have to trample on our desires. But this is a great task. We have to put our hands in the hands of the mashayikh. We have to visit the majalis of the mashayikh and connect ourselves to a sheikh kamil so that they can assist us in coming out of the shackles of these desires. One day there was a trader who owned a parrot, a captive. He had this parrot in a cage, and the parrot had a melodious voice, and he loved the parrot a lot. So one day as the parrot, the trader was going on a journey to India, he asked all of his workers what gifts should he bring for them from India. And he asked his parrot as well, that what would you like from India? Do you want me to give any message to the parrots of India? So his parrot told him, yes, when you see the parrots of India, convey to them my salam. And tell them that your friend parrot is in a cage, is in captivity. How can you enjoy life flying in the greenery from tree to tree to tree while your friend is in captivity? Don't you have something in your heart to worry about your friend? Convey this message to them. So when he went to India, he met the parrots, he conveyed the message. And then he saw one parrot who became very perplexed. The parrot began to shake and the parrot fell down dead. He was very surprised at this. Nevertheless, he continued on his journey, he returned home. When he came back home, he gave his gifts to everyone. And then he comes to his parrot and the parrot asks him, "Tell me what happened." So he says that I went and I conveyed your message to the parrot. But there was one parrot that became very sad and the parrot fell down dead. As soon as he heard this, that parrot also began to shake and he fell down dead. The master, the owner, was very saddened that his favorite parrot with a melodious voice took the parrot out of the cage, preparing it for burial. And as he took it out of the cage, the parrot woke up and it flew away. And then it went onto a perch and he said, "Oh master, actually that parrot was giving me a message. That if I want to come out of this captivity, if I want to come into freedom, then I must act like I'm dead, lower myself, and then I will get freedom. I will see you, assalamu alaikum. But remember, may Allah free you from the shackles of your nafs." Then the man woke up and he realized that to come out of the evil shackles of our nafs, we have to lower ourselves. We have to trample on that desire. Hazrat Hakim Akhtar Sahab rahmatullah alayhi, he mentioned that once I asked my sheikh that what does it mean to annihilate your nafs? So he mentioned to me, to annihilate your nafs means that you need to subdue your desires and you need to submit yourselves to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and follow the commands of Allah, and continuously doing this, you'll get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Hazrat Hakim Sahab rahmatullah alayhi always give this example. There's nothing wrong in having desires. Sometimes a person thinks that I have so much of desire. I want to do this and I want to do that. How do I control myself? See, if you don't have desire, it's something wrong with you. If you put butter next to fire and it doesn't melt, it's not butter. Something wrong with that butter. So, you have to have desires. But you just need to be able to direct it in the right direction. You be able to curb that desire. Don't make your desires your ilah. أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّقَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى. Like how the kuffar of today have done. That they've made their desires the ilah, and there's no end to following their desires. That what and what and what it goes to, and there's no satisfaction. That they've reached levels worse than that of animalism. That is the level that your desires take you towards, and then it leads you to the fire of Jahannam. Allah Ta'ala protect us. So a person, there's nothing wrong in having desires. And Hazrat Hakim Sahab rahmatullah alayhi used to say that every time you lower your gaze, when you want to look at that haram and you lower your gaze, you will feel a pain in your heart. And you're supposed to feel a pain in your heart, but that is actually shedding blood in your heart. And each time you shed that blood in your heart, you're actually bringing the love of Allah Ta'ala in your heart. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has mentioned in a hadith in Qudsi that a person who controls his gaze or leaves out looking at haram for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, in place of that, Allah will grant him the sweetness of iman. So, Hazrat Hakim Sahab rahmatullah alayhi used to say, he says that when you want to look at haram and you protect your gaze, it's creating an earthquake in your heart. But it's just for those few moments. And after that, you will find peace. He says that like there's an earthquake that happens in a certain place, and then the government makes an announcement, emergency situation, and they're sending aid, that they will now build up the cement and all the buildings, they will rebuild it in that place. It says each time you look down, you protect your gaze, an earthquake is happening in your heart. Your heart is breaking. Those idols are breaking in your heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reconstruct your heart with His love, with the sweetness of iman, with His happiness, with peace. So be prepared for that difficulty. And eventually the end will be sweet and the end will be that of bliss and happiness. Now, my respected elders and brothers, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the command to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of قُمْ فَأَنْذِرْ وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ, that stand up and warn the people, proclaim the greatness of your Rabb. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals Surah Al-Muzzammil. And in there Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives five commands to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Five advices, which if we internalize these advices, The youth of the ummah, the men of the ummah, the women of the ummah, if every person internalizes these advices, brings it in his life, Allah will give such strength that Allah will make you a true miftahan lil khayr and mighlaqan lil shar. Allah will give you the strength to stand up to the fitnas of the time. Allah will grant you a covering of protection from His side, and Allah will bless you the shade under His arsh on the day of Qiyamah. So what are these five advices or commands? The first is, Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal muzzammil, kumi layla illa qaleela. Tahajjud salah. And what is the benefit of tahajjud salah? Inna nashi'ata al-layli hiya ashaddu wat'aw wa aqwa muqila. That rising by the night is the most effective way to subdue the nafs. It is the most effective way to subdue the nafs and to make a person's speech more upright. It is a time where a person is intimately conversing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is building that special connection with Allah. And Allah has given this command to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to prepare his heart because of the heaviness of wahi that is to come. That to prepare the ruhaniya and the spirituality of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if we want to become the great youth of the ummah that assists the deen and stand up for the preservation of the deen, we need to bring tahajjud in our life. That inna nashi'ata al-layli hiya ashaddu wat'a. It will subdue our nafs. It will create a special connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Mullah Ashraf Ali Thanwi rahimahullah says that the salah of the night helps to suppress one's desires and keep the person's desires under control. So to get our desires under control, the first thing is to bring tahajjud salah. The second advice and command, Allah says, وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. Tilawat of Qur'an. Preoccupation with the Qur'an. Now we know the Qur'an, as we heard previously, is so powerful. Understand the power of Qur'an. And move in the world with the power of Qur'an. When a person taps into the power of Qur'an, famous incident of Usayd bin Hudayr radiallahu anhu, at the time of tahajjud, reciting the verses of Qur'an, he sees some light in the sky, becomes worried, his horse begins to jump, he fears that the horse might trample over his son, mentioning the incident to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the morning. Tilka al-malaika, danaut li-sawtik. Those were the angels that had come close to listen to your voice. That Qur'an made the angels move. Qur'an makes hearts move. Qur'an is powerful. Bring the power of Qur'an in your life. Understand the power of Qur'an. لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله. That if the Qur'an had to be revealed upon the mountains will be obliterated with the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah has given, like Maulana Sayyid mentioned, badana insan, that the body of insan, the heart of insan is able to take Qur'an, tap into the power of Qur'an, preoccupation of Qur'an. We're just touching on it, but the subject is much deeper. So tahajjud and Qur'an, preoccupation in Qur'an. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the hadith, إِنَّ هَذِهِ الْقُلُوبِ تَفْضَعْ كَمَا يَفْتَوُ الْحَدِيدِ إِذَا أَصَابَهُ الْمَا وَمَا جِلَاؤُهَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ Sahaba radiallahu anhu asked, these hearts, they rust. Like how iron rust when water touches the iron. How do we purify it? كَثْرَةُ ذِكْرِ الْمَوْتِ وَتِلَاوَةُ الْقُرْآنِ. Excessive remembrance of death, tilawat of Qur'an. This will help us to control our desires and create a special nur and power in our hearts to stand up to the challenges of the time. That is the second thing. And the third aspect that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah ta'ala mentioned, وَذْكُرْ اسْمَ رَبِّكْ وَتَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبْدِيلًا. 3 and 4. Remember, make the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The zikr of the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why we come to this program. That is why we go to the mashayikh to learn how to make zikr. And not just any type of zikr, but ashikana zikr. Zikr with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Zikr which makes the heart shake. Zikr which brings fafadat, rajulun zakar Allahu khaliyan fafadat ayna, that brings tears to the eyes. That zikr we have to learn from the mashayikh, the ulama, our akabir. They'll teach us how to make the zikr, how to take the name of Allah with love. This will give us strength. And this will help us to stand up to the temptations of the nafs and temptations of shaitan. وَذْكُرْ اسْمَ رَبِّكْ. And in making that zikr, وَتَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبْتِيلًا. To cut ourselves off from everything. That سَبْتِ قَتَعْ كَرْكِ أُسْكِي تَرَهْ مُتَوَجِّهْ رَهُ. Cut off from the creation. Keep your focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. While loving with the creation, your heart has to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are some things that will allow us to become miftahan lil khair and miglaqan lil shar. And the first command that Allah ta'ala gave, Rabbul Mashriqi wal Maghrib, La ilaha illa huwa, fattakhidhu wakila. That take Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as your guardian. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. The one who places his trust in Allah, that Allah is sufficient for that person. Complete reliance on Allah in every situation. Your heart must be focused on Allah. When the temptation to sin comes, turn your heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many incidents we are that when the temptation came at the time of the sin, that person, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا إِذَا مَسَّهُمْ طَائِفٌ مِّنَ الشَّيْطَانِ تَذَكَّرُوا. They remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to remember Allah at the time of situation, at the time of temptation. Hazrat Mawlana Yunus Patel rahmatullah alayhi always say that just keep this in mind, that when you want to sin, when you want to commit disobedience of Allah ta'ala, when the temptation is there right in front of you, all obstacles have been moved, just think, what if maut has to come to me in this situation? What will be my condition? What disgrace will come to me? The whole world thinks that I am a pious person. I dress like a molisab with a turban, kurta. I'm in a madrasa, I'm a student of ilm, I'm a maulana, I'm a mufti. But what if people have to see what I am involved in? So what if? Always keep that in front. What if? So to have the complete reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remember, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. You cannot abstain from sin. You cannot do good except with the permission of Allah. So ask Allah to take you out of sin. Ask Allah to put the love of iman and good in your heart and put the hatred of sin in your heart. That is what is required. And Imam Yaqub Karqi rahimullah, in these, under these verses, he mentions that actually these five injunctions are maqamat suluk. Will take a person to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what are they again? Solitude at night to worship Allah. Preoccupation with the Quran. Constant remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Severance of relationship with everything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And number five, total trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My respected elders and brothers, Malik bin Dinar rahimullah, he says, I heard from my ustad that if you desire divine proximity, to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then erect a wall of steel between yourselves and your desires. Erect a wall of steel between yourselves and your desires, your cravings. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to one of the Anbiya alayhimu salam that he who loves to fulfill his desires will never become a leader of the people. That if you want to become miftahan lil khair and your private battles in privacy, you cannot win those private battles, you will never be an ambassador of Islam. So you've got to learn how to win those private battles. And again, how to win it? Bring these five things in our life. Connect ourselves to the mashayikh, my respected elders and brothers. And remember, whatever we leave for the pleasure of Allah, إِنَّكَ لَنْ تَضَعْ شَيْئًا لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ إِلَّا بَدَّلَكَ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا مِنْ. That if a person leaves anything for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will grant him something better in return. Allah will grant him something better in return, either in this dunya, or Allah will grant him peace in his heart, or Allah will grant him izzah and honor. How many people left out sin in their youth? Right up until they die, Allah gives them izzah and honor in the eyes of people. Sometimes they wonder, where does this izzah and honor come from? It was because of that sin they left out in the youth when they gave up something for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a beautiful incident mentioned of the basket seller, that he was selling baskets in the time of the Bani Israel. And as he was selling those baskets, one day he comes by the king's palace. The queen gets hold of him, he comes into the palace. The queen desires to do evil with him. This person says, never. He remembers Allah. And the queen says, you cannot leave my palace. He requests to go upstairs. She allows him to go upstairs. He looks for every escape. He can't find it. He addresses his nafs. He says to his nafs, for so many years, you have left out your desires for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Now is the test. If you fail now, then all of this is gone to waste. And with that, he took the courage and he jumped from the window. Allah Ta'ala commanded Jibreel alayhi salam to come and to catch him and give him a soft landing. When he goes home that night, he narrates the incident to his wife and she's amazed and she tells him that Allah has granted you such a standing. Make dua to Allah that he eases our poverty. He says, make sabr. She says, no, make dua. He makes dua in the middle of the night. Allah sends a tray down with a special jewel. He wakes her up and he tells her, here is a jewel for you. All our poverty is gone. Then she says, no, I just woke up from a dream. I saw golden thrones in Jannah. And in one throne, there was a jewel missing. I asked, where is the jewel from? Where is the jewel gone to? They said, that is the jewel belonging to your husband that you've asked for in advance. So please make dua to Allah to take it back. And like that, Allah had given them already in this dunya, they had seen their place in Jannah. So my respected elders and brothers, leave out things for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In conclusion, we mention a beautiful incident of Tawbatu Shab, Alama Maqdisi rahimullah mentioned in Kitab al-Tawwabin about an incident again in the time of Musa alayhi salam, of a youngster. Remember, no one is a write-off. No one is a write-off. There was a youngster who was the worst of sinners. They kicked him out of the town. Allah Ta'ala revealed to Musa alayhi salam, Inna waliyam min awliya'i hadarahu al-maut. One of my friends is about to die. Go see to his janazah. Tell the people whoever comes for his janazah is forgiven. Musa alayhi salam makes the elan, they all go. When they look, هذا الفاسق الذي أخرجناه. This is the same person we kicked out of the town. So Musa alayhi salam asked Allah, perplexed. Allah said, yes, that is correct. But when the time of his mort came, he looked to his right, he looked to his left. He saw nobody, but then he turned to me in dua and he said, إلهي عبد من عبادك غريب في بلادك. He said, oh my Allah, I am a stranger in your land. I am one of your servants. If I know that your azab you punishing me will decrease your kingdom, or you forgiving me will increase your kingdom in any way, lama sa'altuka al-maghfira, I would not ask you for forgiveness. But oh Allah, I have heard that you have mentioned, innaka anta al-ghafur al-rahim, that you are most forgiving, you are most merciful. So oh Allah, fala tuqayyib raja'i, don't let me go away disappointed, accept my dua. Oh Musa, Allah says, he made dua in such a way, can I reject this person? Even if he has to ask forgiveness for all the sinners in the world, I would have granted him. My respected elders and brothers, every person has hope. Turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and strive to become pure in a corrupted world. For Allah says, مِن بَيْنِ فَرْثٍ وَدَمٍ لَبَنًا خَالِصًا سَائِغًا لِلشَّارِبِينَ. Between the blood and the filth in the cow, Allah has kept pure milk. If Allah can keep that milk pure, what is difficult for Allah to keep the youngsters of this ummah pure in a world of corruption? We just got to turn to Allah and we got to come to the feet of the mashayikh. They will shine our heart and the beauty of Iman, Islam will come into our heart and we will become mistahan lil khayr, ighlaqan lil shar. Allahumma ja'alna mistahan lil khayr wa ighlaqan lil shar. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.